Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now death and jaywalking on the Upper West Side. This year has already seen some horrific and deadly traffic accidents in the neighborhood and a tabloid sensation police encounter with an 84-year-old jaywalker. We'll ask what's going on, including whether bad intersection design has anything to do with it and whether a crackdown on jaywalking on pedestrians is part of Mayor de Blasio's Vision Zero program to eliminate traffic deaths altogether. Joining me now is Democratic State Assemblyman Daniel O'Donnell, who represents that area, part of the Upper West Side and Morningside Heights. Also joining me is Sam Schwartz, who worked in the New York City Department of Transportation for 20 years. During that time, he served as traffic commissioner and the chief engineer, first deputy commissioner. You also know him as Sam Schwartz, Gridlock Sam in the Daily News, and he's got some major new proposals for traffic reform in New York City. So, Assemblyman O'Donnell and Sam Schwartz, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this incident first that people may have seen on the cover of the Post. Assemblyman, the 84-year-old named Kang Wong, arrested for jaywalking. There are photos of him bloodied and being walked into a police vehicle. According to reports, it seemed like he couldn't understand officers when they called to him, and that led to his getting arrested. What happened there, as far as you know?
I think you pretty much explained the situation. I don't believe that the man was aware that the police were necessarily trying to do anything. I think that the problem here is let's acknowledge we have a culture in New York City where people jaywalk all the time. And so if you've been jaywalking your whole life or just that's the way you exist, if a police officer comes up to you and tells you not to, you may not even understand where that's coming from. So I think that if what we're going to do is focus on enforcement and people jaywalking, that we should start with warnings and start with an education campaign rather than start with arrests and bloodied elderly men.
Assemblyman, that intersection, 96th and Broadway, can be very confusing, especially after it was redesigned. You have to cross twice if you're on the north side of 96th Street to get to the subway entrance. You have to cross 96th and then cross part of Broadway. And there's a left turn signal and various points in the light cycle there that can leave people confused or rushed or perhaps otherwise at risk. One of our colleagues here lives right near there and does not like the new design of that intersection, doesn't feel all that safe there. Do you know that intersection, or are you critical of it at all?
Oh, I know that intersection extraordinarily well. I've been interacting with the city government about that intersection almost my entire tenure, which is now 12 years, representing the Upper West Side of Manhattan. The problems go back to when the city closed the entrance to the West Side Highway from Riverside Drive. That was a dangerous place, and it was the right thing to do. But when they did that, that put all of the traffic that needed to get onto the West Side Highway onto West End and Broadway. Then you had a subway renovation that took away valuable sidewalk space along Broadway. And so they built a new subway entrance and a median, and in expanding the median narrowed the sidewalk. So what ends up happening is you have people having a greater feeling and sense of being crowded and less options of what to do. Then the city decided to put turning lanes off of Broadway onto 96th Street, either coming from north or from south. And for a long time, they were at the same time, which confused the drivers. Now they're consecutive, but most New Yorkers are used to seeing when the light turns red is when you get your walk sign. And what has happened is people are doing that and not realizing that the up-down or downtown Broadway traffic has a turn signal. And so in the end, all those things combined has made it a very dangerous intersection. And I have been talking with the city for years. It's why I put in a bill that would give the city greater authority to control things like that intersection.
Is there an easy fix? I noticed that there's a letter from members of Community Board 7 that recommends a number of things, including changing the signal light pattern along 97th Street, because that's a one-way street. I used to live right there, too, and I know that intersection well. And if you speed, you'll make it from Columbus to Riverside without having to stop after you go across the park at 97th Street. So what are your thoughts about that?
And you're also driving right past a Catholic elementary school, which uses it as a play space during the day. So it's a very, very dangerous street. It's why community opposition to building a nursing home on 97th Street has a lot of legs, because people know how dangerous that intersection is. That intersection at West End and 97th is where the young boy was killed walking legally in a crosswalk with his father.
Yes.
And so clearly it should be evident to anyone that this is a particular problem. Now, the bill that I introduced would lower the standard speed limit in the city to 20, and most importantly, give the city council the authority to change it. We regularly hear here in Albany that people, that the politicians in New York City are sick of coming to us and asking for anything. So my bill says, okay, we'll lower the speed limit to 20, give the city council the authority to set its own speed limits in other places as they see fit. Unfortunately, that bill that I introduced last Thursday requires a home rule message from the city council. So if the city council wants us to move that bill, we have to get a home rule message from them.
Is
to do so.
20 miles an hour is a citywide speed limit, other than on the highways, of course, is pretty low. They're talking now about lowering it from 35 to 30. You would go all the way down to 20?
It would do it as a default. So on my small one street, you know, it would be 20. And if the city DOT and all the experts, you know, decide that some other place, whether that be on Broadway or West End or the West Side Highway or whatever those streets are, that it should be something different. But it would set the default speed limit in the city of New York at 20 and give the authority to the city council to change it as they see fit.
All right. Assemblyman Daniel O'Donnell from the Upper West Side, thank you very much. And now we turn to Sam Schwartz, Gridlock Sam, for a bigger view. And listeners, chime in on this. First of all, if you're right in that area on the Upper West Side, if you use the 96th and Broadway subway station or cross that street, how bad is it? And is it worse than it used to be? When I lived in the area, it was before the redesign of the subway station. It seems like people who are there now are finding it worse. Does it need to be redesigned again? What are your nominations as well, if you're elsewhere in the city, for some of the other worst intersections to cross in New York City as a pedestrian? Should jaywalkers be ticketed? More, less, or the same as they do now? We'll throw that one in as well. And if we're going to get to Mayor de Blasio's Vision Zero, zero pedestrian deaths, zero traffic deaths in New York City, how about jaywalking? How about shouting out or calling out some of those other worst intersections anywhere in the five boroughs? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Sam Schwartz, you want to weigh in briefly on 96th and Broadway?
First of all, I haven't studied the intersection in great detail, but when I look at the three fatalities that occurred in that area, there are some patterns that do emerge. All were during dark time hours. So one of the things you take a look at is the lighting at the location. Secondly, all the drivers were so-called professional drivers. The ambulance driver, the bus driver, the taxi driver, that may create some kind of pattern. Two out of the three fatals were left turns. Left turns are made faster than right turns. And it looks like in two or three cases, the pedestrians were doing what they should do. So I'm not sure why the crackdown on jaywalking and not the crackdown on failure to yield to pedestrians.
Do you think that a crackdown on jaywalking should be a part of the Vision Zero design? That at least the New York Post article on that incident said that there had been an enforcement push, that cops had been out issuing more jaywalking tickets by design on the Upper West Side, the 96th Street, West 97th Street area in particular.
I don't think that a crackdown on jaywalking is going to have a big effect. I remember the crackdowns on jaywalking during the Wagner days, during the Lindsay days, during the Koch days, during Rudy Giuliani put up pedestrian fences. That's not going to work in New York City, and I'm not sure that that's going to help. Take a look at Los Angeles has a much higher pedestrian fatality rate than New York City, and people don't jaywalk. There's tremendous jaywalking enforcement in Los Angeles where even when the countdown signals get going, so you're not really crossing against the light, they write you a ticket.
Do they really? I didn't know that. I thought the legend about California was that pedestrians always have the right of way, even in the middle of the block, even against the light. So not true.
Well, they do have the right-of-way, but the pedestrians also may not cross and do not cross for the most part. They do not jaywalk. And yet we have a higher pedestrian fatality rate in Los Angeles than we have in New York City. Sometimes the chaos of New York City does slow down the traffic. There is a whole theory of traffic engineering, and it was first proposed by a Dutch traffic engineer, Hans Mondermann, who removed all traffic control devices and found that the streets became safer. The pedestrian is the king and queen of New York City. Let's focus on the cars and the violations committed by the cars, trucks, and buses.
Elena in Queens wants to call out another dangerous intersection. Elena, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi. I think this is an excellent conversation. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
The stretch of Main Street between Queens Boulevard and the Grand Central, any of those cross streets are a little dangerous, but particularly 84th Road and Main Street. And if you go up a little bit further, 85th Drive and Manton Street is also quite dangerous.
What makes them bad, Elena?
You have a lot of people coming off. You have the Van Wyck at 84th Drive. You have a lot of people speeding off of that exit of the Van Wyck, and then you have a two-way side street, which is the 84th Road. And so you have traffic coming one way, traffic coming another. It is an apartment building, and a lot of times somebody's double parked, so you can't even see when you're crossing if somebody's going to come. And people just, you know, do not obey speed limits. They come around that corner really, really fast, and I've come within inches of my life at least two or three times in the last, I want to say, 18 months that I've been living in that area, to the point where coming home at night, I've invested in several metallic little down jackets because I want to be visible when I'm walking.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically build your case.
Elena, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And it's kind of sad in a way, Sam, right? If people who are just pedestrians feel like they have to wear bright clothing, like we do sometimes when we're on bicycles to make sure the cars see us, then, I don't know, that's a bridge too far. I don't mean to put on those clothes, but it means that something isn't working.
Exactly. You know, and part of it is enforcement. When you take a look at the number of moving violations we write, it's roughly a million two. We look at the number of parking violations, generally between 8 and 10 million. And so we write far more parking violations than we write moving violations. And part of it is that we don't get the revenue directly from the moving violations, but we get all the revenue from the parking violations.
You mentioned this on the show once before, and people went nuts. So explain this again. When the city writes a traffic ticket, they get the revenue, but when they write a speeding ticket, they don't?
Right. When they write a parking ticket, the money stays wholly within the city of New York. When they write a moving violation, the money goes to the State Traffic Violations Bureau, which by formula, New York City gets less than 50% of that revenue.
Do you think that translates to a policy decision somewhere in City Hall or the Traffic Department or the NYPD or wherever it is where they say, you know, ease up on the speeding tickets, really go heavy on the traffic tickets because of revenue?
I know exactly where it occurs, and it occurs in the Office of Management and Budget. The Office of Management and Budget looks at the bottom line. The bottom line on parking tickets is, wow, we really make money on parking tickets. On moving violations, we don't make the money. So there isn't that incentive to invest in more cops to do traffic enforcement. I applaud Bratton because he was very good on traffic enforcement the first time around, and I'm expecting really good things, and he did increase the traffic division.
Caroline on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hello, Caroline.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I have seen an inordinate number of accidents. Actually, I called in a couple years ago after I had seen a woman die in front of me on 106th and Broadway where I live, which is one of the most dangerous intersections. You've got West End and Broadway kind of meeting at 107th Street. And I find that people drive West End and drive Broadway like it's a highway. People go incredibly fast. They also go incredibly fast on the cross streets. I met with de Blasio when he was public advocate and wanted my support when he was running for mayor. He did not know the speed limit in Manhattan. I also have called numerous agencies. I've stopped cops. I asked de Blasio when I met with him, are you legally allowed to make a left turn off of Broadway onto a side street when you have the green light but the light in the median is red. Following me? So the cross street.
Absolutely. And Sam okay, Schwartz is.
Before you go on, I'm sorry,
go ahead.
I have two little kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. I take the subway to school with them every morning to 78th Street. We used to ride our bikes. I live in sheer panic when I ride my bike. I was hit by a car riding my bike a few months ago because the green light for cars is also the walk sign. So when your kids are crossing the street, with you know, crossing the sign, it is safer to jaywalk because you can look and make sure that there's no one turning than it is to cross right. at the walk sign when the cars also have the green light.
I'm so glad you brought this up because you remind me that when I lived in the neighborhood at 105th in Amsterdam and at 100th in Columbus, it was very confusing if I was in a car and you were making that left turn on Broadway and going across the island. There would actually be two lights. There would, you know, one in the middle and one at the end of the intersection. And I don't know to this day if you get through the first one and then the second one is red, if you can go.
I'm probably one of a handful of people in the city that know the answer to that. The answer to that is if the center median is less than 30 feet, you may proceed even though you're facing a red light. In the case of Broadway, it's narrower than 30 feet, and therefore you can continue unless there are signs posted, and they may be warranted.
But the car coming up Broadway or down Broadway on the second half of that turn has a green light at that moment?
That, yes, it has a green light, and obviously if you're making the left in front of that car, you have to yield to that car. But nonetheless, if you can make it across, you can cross. And yes, indeed, the pedestrian has the walk, and you have the right to continue straight through.
Jennifer in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I want to certainly thank you for this topic, and I want to echo what a lot of what some of the other callers have said. I heard the Assemblyman O'Donnell speak last week at the Community Board 9 meeting, and I'm just constantly perplexed for the 15 or 20 years that I've lived in New York, the lack of yielding to pedestrians with a walk sign. So I know that other people have spoken about this, but it's just, I don't understand. Is this a moving violation or not? And if so, why not?
The answer is it is a moving violation. It's occasionally enforced, and I'm absolute agreement with you. It should be enforced more.
Jennifer, thank you. Here is a clip of Mayor de Blasio. This is just 10 seconds, and he's a little bit off mic here, so you have to listen carefully, but it's just 10 seconds. In response to a question about the jaywalking arrest on 96th at Broadway, he defends this as part of a larger policy. Listen.
There is no larger policy in terms of jaywalking and ticketing jaywalking. That's not part of our plan, but it is something a local precinct commander can act on if they perceive there to be a real danger.
And let me correct what I said setting up that clip. He said there is no larger policy in terms of jaywalking and ticketing and jaywalking. That's not part of our plan, but it is something a local precinct commander can act on if they perceive there to be a real danger. So it's not part of his Vision Zero to get to zero pedestrian deaths.
Yeah, and I would recommend that he really emphasize the vulnerable users. Those are the pedestrians, the bike riders, the failure to yield to both of them, and that his traffic engineering department within the DOT take a look at engineering measures that really cut down on fatalities. And there have been lots of studies that demonstrate what you can do in urban areas, such as better lighting, pedestrian refuge islands. And I would also recommend that there be a forensic team. Brian, every year on New York City streets, it's the equivalent of a 747 crashes, and we lose close to 300 people. Mm-hmm. The NTSB would study that for years, and I recommend that we do the same thing for pedestrian and traffic fatalities in New York.
Jabril in Manhattan, a taxi driver who wants to call out another intersection nearby to there, I think. Jabril, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. Good morning, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
There are certain factors that are contributing to a lot of accidents in the city here now. Whoever is designing the street right now in the city doesn't drive in the city. Because if they do, they will not design the street the way they design it now. For instance, like on 96th Street and Broadway right now, what's happening is they have a green left turn light. So what happened, the left turn light comes after the ones that the lights that are going straight ahead. So pedestrians that waiting to cross the street, they always look for the light that goes straight again. So once that light stops, they're assuming that the pedestrian green light is going to appear now. And what happened is the left turn light is going to appear. So people try to turn left while pedestrians are assuming that their light is going to turn green. And that's the problem over there. And secondly, on 86th Street and Central Park West, there are two lanes there. One lane they designed now to turn left, and the other lane is going straight. So there's a lot of traffic happening there. Now, once you appear there, you see left turn lane, you try to squish to the right side to go straight ahead. So that's causing a lot of traffic there again. So whoever is designing this, the street should do a better job, or they should employ some cab drivers to help in designing.
Absolutely. Employ the cab drivers, because who knows better. Thank you, Jibril. But bottom line, in a way, Sam Schwartz, it's a crowded city. People are trying to go straight, right, and left at busy intersections all the time. Are there perfect solutions?
There are many things that work. None of them are perfect. Some of them will upset the driver. I think Jibril brought up a good point, and that is we have to see it through the eyes of the driver as well as the pedestrian. And he gave a wonderful description of the problem when you have a left turn phase at a very busy pedestrian crossing. But there's been a lot of research into urban traffic safety, and there are a lot of measures such as better lighting. Most of the crashes do occur, the fatal crashes at night. The policies that your first listener talked about, where we put cars on streets versus highways, which, as you know, Brian, we talked about the tolling policy of New York City, puts probably 30 to 50 million miles more on New York City streets versus highways because we invite people to go over the free bridges. That results in casualties. There are signal timing changes that could be made. I'm not a big fan of the political solutions, just lower the speed limits. In fact, there are some studies that say when you just blanketly lower limits, you increase the crash rate because some people continue to drive at the faster rate and some at the slower rate. Huh. And the difference of speed then becomes greater.
The city under Bloomberg had been redesigning some light cycles at some intersections so that there are walk signs for periods of time with no cars having a green light. Are you familiar with those?
Yes, leading pedestrian intervals, and it's something I introduced back when I was traffic commissioner. That is an absolutely good strategy to use, and I would recommend continuing to do that.
You know, one of the things that's so sad about the relatively minor jaywalking incident making it onto the front page of the Post. And, of course, very sad that elderly gentleman had his face bloodied and didn't understand what was going on with the police. But the reason that there were so many photos of Mr. Wong being arrested is that news organizations were covering the death of a pedestrian earlier that morning at that very intersection.
Yes. Well, you know, when I look at the fatality, one was the medical the doctor who apparently did cross mid-block, but the other one that occurred right at the intersection, it looked like the pedestrian had the right-of-way. As a number of you listeners talked about, there is a left-turning movement where there is an arrow that allows for that left-turn movement, and left turns are done much faster than right turns. And we probably need to look at redesigning that intersection to slow down the left turns.
Faster than right turns. That's because cars feel they need to speed through it once they make the turn because of oncoming traffic?
It's partly that, but also the geometrics. It's not as tight to make a left turn as it is to make a right turn.
Before you go, you issued a blueprint last year for modernizing the relationship overall between pedestrians and bicycles and cars, and also on adding East River tolls, but lowering other tolls. Do you have Mayor de Blasio's ear at all? Do you think any of your proposals are being seriously considered by the new administration?
Well, I certainly hope so. I did meet with Mayor de Blasio when he was a candidate, and he seemed to be eager to learn more about it. I met with his current transportation commissioner when she was Undersecretary of Transportation, and we're hoping that they do respond, because this will result in fewer fatalities on city streets just because fewer miles will be driven on city streets.
Listeners, continue to post on our webpage some of the other dangerous intersections in New York City, in addition to the ones that we've been focusing on in this conversation because they've been in the news. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Sam Schwartz, Gridlock Sam, thank you so much.
You're welcome.